I want to greet you, first of all, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Second thing, while we were singing these beautiful songs, two things came up in my mind. One thing was I even wrote it on my hand. If you are not sure of your citizenship, you are at the right place tonight. And the second thing I thought of was, it's worthwhile to fight for your future. Because we are futuristic. Everything of the past finished last night. Then, because I need to, they have told me about 20 times I must look that big watch. And I have always so much to say, but I need to say, first of all, when I come to this place, I see that emblem, the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. And every time it touches me, because it's not just something written there for the show, it's so true. I am nearly 20 years part of this church. For nearly 20 years, this church, and Pastor Jim and Pastor Debbie and their team have supported me. And I was thinking tonight about it, that everybody at the moment in America is very negative about what is happening. Don't be negative, brother, sister. We know who we are, and we also know where we are going. And despite that we hear businesses are closing down and even churches are closing down, some of these churches are closing down because how can you revitalize a dead horse? And these days, people go where there is life. And these days, people go to places where they can really meet the one who they speak about. It's not just preaching, it's about meeting. It's not just coming to church for fun. No, we need to face him. You know, it's no good for me just standing here and preach a wonderful message, and I don't know if I can do that. But I would love really for you to see the truth in my life and see Jesus. But even in these circumstances, this church has never cut even 1 cent on missions. Amen. They have never. And that touches me. I was thinking about it that I'm now this year 36 years a missionary. And this church has even helped me for all those years to help me doing what God wanted me to do all those years. And guess what? I'm only 70. I'm not finished. I have planned for the next 5 years something new. God has given me something new, which I will talk about maybe at a later time. But I have already started, because in the past 35 years, I have gathered many sons. I've always believed, even if I've never really knew 30 years ago what it means, fathers and sons. Because in the past, you know, and this is the problem in the church, we do not have many fathers. There's a big problem. We have no fathers. And that's why we don't have sons. And many of the sons should have been fathers, you know, and because, etc. But I've always had that desire to do something for people and help people to become better as what I've ever been. And I have many sons. And now my desire is in the next 5 years to gather all those sons again with their sons. So they are fathers, they must bring their sons. And we have gatherings twice a year. And my heart desire is to motivate them and inspire them and make them to move to another level. Because in Africa, we've got 420 million Christians, the highest percentage in the world. But, you know, there's a lot of shallowness. People go to church and they sing and they enjoy church. But we never read in the Bible that Jesus said, go to church and enjoy church, or get them together for enjoyment. No, there is definitely an assignment. God has a reason for us to be part of his kingdom, isn't that? So, you know, I am teaching at this stage and to help leaders to see that they need to take their churches. And a migration needs to take place. Migrating means going to a place where they can give birth and where they can give life. And this is really what I want to do in the next 5 years. So thank you for this church. Thank you for helping and assisting me. Thank you for There are hundreds of people who have been praying for me while I had this major heart attack about 8 months ago. And here I am. And I am not afraid even to say, if you want, I challenge you, if you want to walk with me, let's walk. My sons and grandsons, they are afraid to walk with me because they can't keep up. And when the specialist, I must tell you this one, the specialist, you know, I had this major heart attack in Zambia, and I didn't know it was a heart attack. I had pains all over here, and later on my arms were standing like this at 4 o'clock in the hotel. But at 5 o'clock, a couple of Zambians came, and they were praying for me. 9 o'clock, 8 o'clock I had breakfast. 9 o'clock I was teaching for 2.5 hours. And then my wife said, "You stupid fool, you should have known. You should have known it was a heart attack." So they had to come and pick me with a special plane. And my doctor said, the best specialist will be waiting for you. And you know, guess, that doctor was our old President Mandela's doctor for 20 years. His personal doctor. And the last day before I was discharged from the hospital, he stood in the intensive care and he turned around and he said to me, You must be a special man. I said, "Yes, I'm a special man." He said, "You know what? At least you have another 10, 15 years triple energy." Hallelujah. Now, before I preach, if I need to give it a title, tonight's sermon I've been thinking about is Victory Through Disadvantages. But what I believe, listen to this. This is what I believed from the end of last year, that 2009, I believe this is the year of God's glory. This is the year of God's glory. Now listen to what Isaiah 43 verse 7 says. "Everyone who is called by my name, whom I have created for my glory." Hello. God has created us for his glory. You know, in order to spread his glory all over the world, it has to come through you and me, okay? "I have formed him. Yes, I have made him." And I believe 2009 is the year of divine, of glory divine. Many of God's people will start migrating to a more accurate position in God. A Zion, I call it a Zion position, and become a glorious and a victorious people. You know what? It's true. God doesn't want you to remain in sackcloth. God wants to, like we've heard Pastor Debbie saying, she always says that. She's always enthusiastic to make you see and understand, man, we are somebody. You know, God wants us to be living in a victorious life. And I believe we are going to see some things happening this year. And it doesn't look like, but I tell you, you can write it down. Things are going to happen. It depends on you. You need to move with the Spirit. Now, let us read together, and you don't need to read. I can read it for you. Sometimes it's good to listen to it. I'm going to read out of Judges chapter 11. And chapter 11 verse 1. "Now Jephthah of Gilead was a great warrior. He was the son of a Gilead, but I don't think that was the name of his father. His father was a member of the Gilead tribe. But his mother was a prostitute. Gilead's wife also had several sons." In other words, his father was also a guy who was, you know. "And when these half-brothers grew up, they chased Jephthah off the land. 'You will not get any of our father's inheritance,' they said, 'for you are the son of a prostitute.' So Jephthah fled from the brothers and lived in the land of Tob. Soon he had a large band of rebels following him. About this time, the Ammonites began their war against Israel. And when the Ammonites attacked, the leaders of Gilead sent for Jephthah in the land of Tob. And they said, 'Come and be our commander. Help us to fight the Ammonites.' But Jephthah said to them, 'Aren't you the ones who hated me and drove me from my father's house. So it was not just his brothers, but others were involved as well in chasing him from the territory where he was living. Why do you come to me now when you are in trouble? And they answered, of course, because we need you. If you will lead us in battle against the Ammonites, we will make you ruler over the people of Gilead. And Jephthah said, I come with you, and if the Lord gives me victory, if the Lord gives me victory over the Ammonites, will you really make me ruler over all the people? The Lord is our witness, the leaders replied, we promise to do whatever you say. So Jephthah is our, sorry, the Lord is our witness. So the leaders replied, we promise to do whatever you say. So Jephthah went with the leaders of Gilead, and he became the ruler and the commander of the army up to that far. Now, what I like, and this is what I was thinking of the moment when Pastor Jim asked me to come and share something tonight. This is that thought which came to me. Victory through disadvantage. The names of Gideon and the names of Jephthah have been honorable mentioned by the great apostle in his select role of faithfulness. Faithful people in the book of Hebrews. But the story of Jephthah is the story of every converted sinner. A lifting up, Psalm 113 verse 7 says, from the dunghill and a setting among the princes. The call of Jephthah is the same as the call to us. Listen to this. While we were yet sinners, a calling, an invitation to join the ranks of the Lord's people from whom sin had separated us to become God's ambassadors. God's plan has always been bigger and greater as what we have ever thought of ourselves. He sees us not as losers, but he sees us as winners, as children of God. And sometimes I like to endorse, not just children, but we as sons and daughters of God, we are not victims, but victors. Never mind, regardless of the times where we are living in. The defeat of others should not make us losers. I'm not a loser, but even if somebody else is defeating, that's fine. I'm not a loser. If you're in sackcloth, I am not in sackcloth. I want to march on and going on. Age is not a limitation for victory. Listen to this. Your background, and whatever we are saying tonight, never forget this. Your background, how you were born, where you were born, does not matter. The fact that you were born, the fact that you are here tells me you were born, isn't that? Proves that you are here on God's business. Our business is God's business. Listen to what Jeremiah chapter 29 verse 11 says. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster. Not for disaster. Hello? To give you a future and a hope. God's plan is a future for you and me. And a hope, regardless what CNN says, regardless what Fox News says, regardless what Bush used to say, or Obama, or whatsoever. That's fine. I also realize that they can't change the world. They cannot change this country, but the Church of Jesus Christ can. And I think that is the function. And that I heard yesterday when I mentioned to somebody I'm going to the San Bernardino Valley. I always forget where I'm going. And they said, oh, that's a bad place. That is a place of need. I said, yes, that is why the Rock Church is here. Because they make a difference. You see, the problem is many churches make big noises but make no difference. And we are here to make a difference. And if we talk about we, it's not this building, it's you and me. We are the living stones. God wants us to operate. And that's what I believe. I don't have time to emphasize this issue. But that's what I believe, that God's desire is that we, you and me, we should regather or get back dominion which Adam lost. Because we are not just a you or a she or a he. We are a somebody. And that we need to understand, regardless of what everybody else says. Start seeing yourself as God sees you. God has a way of looking at the individual. He has a plan, a purpose for each individual. I was thinking this afternoon, and I need to check that, about a story. I hope I can still remember it properly. And I don't know if I told you ever the story. But you know, when Americans and Europeans visit Thailand, they all go to the capital city. I don't even know what's the name of the capital city. It's anyhow that long that I need to take my teeth out in order to pronounce it. But in the middle of that, in that city, is a very big statue as high as the ceiling. And as nearly a white, because Buddha has always shown us this, you know. A big Buddha statue. And all the Americans and Europeans, they all visit and they have steps there. And they all sit there and they eat their lunch and drink the Coca-Cola. They leave the tins there and the papers there. And sometimes the dogs pass by. And you know what dogs do against the statue. You know, that's what they do. And then all of the monks, they started saying to one another, it can't go on like this. We need to remove the statue and take it to where we are, near, say, their seminaries or whatever. So they started working on that one. And as they were working to remove this thing, some of the stuff, the outer layer of that statue started cracking. And a piece of that cement fell off. And they saw something glinstering, is that the right word? Blinkering, shining. And then they took from that away, and you know what? They discovered the world's biggest heap or lump of gold inside that Buddha. Now, you know what is the message? There is gold inside of you. There's gold in each of you. Never mind how you look like. Never mind where you come from. Never mind what is your background. Never mind what your color is. There's gold inside you. And until we don't discover that gold, we will always be up or down. More down as up. And God wants ups people. People who are able to speak up on behalf of his name. That is why Jeremiah chapter 1 verse 4 says, yes, I have called you to be my spokesman. Hallelujah. Now, if we look at this chapter, chapter 11, shows us how God looks at individuals, how God uses our disadvantages into victory. If I have to write a book, I can tell you many disadvantages. I can tell you all the problems and the hardships, etc., etc. But you know what? It helped me to get to victory. Even unlikely candidates can become influential leaders. Now let's look at Jephthah. The name Jephthah means God shall open doors. That's the meaning of the name. So God is the opener of the door, which means opportunities. Hello? Never mind the circumstances where we are in, or which we might still face. It might give us opportunities. Hello? Opportunities, or opens doors for us as church, us as citizens, sons, ambassadors, for God to speak on behalf of him. If he opens it, no one will close it. If he closes it, no one will open it. Hello? I can also write a book about that one. I can even tell you what happened in the past 6 months. But it will take time. I'll do that next time. Number one, 11, his background was a disadvantaged one. And I believe in my heart. And that is why I'm so free to speak about these things. Because I believe many of us come out of a disadvantaged background. Or we are still carrying the load of yesterday, last year, or 20 years ago, we are still dragging this behind us. You know what? When we carry the loads of the past, it brings down your speed. It makes you tired. Here, you cannot even get things done as you would love to, because you're all the way dragging your disadvantages with you. Judges chapter 1 of chapter 11 teaches that his father was a Gilead, but his mother was a prostitute. Therefore, Jephthah was a social outcast. Now, let us see what we can learn out of Jephthah. Number one, he was rejected. Write it down if you want to. He was rejected. And you know, his own brothers rejected him. Remember, when you want to become a something, when you want to move ahead, when you want to accomplish something in your life, you must always understand, sometimes your own brothers will oppose you. Sometimes the guys who are very close to you, who even sing hallelujah, praise the Lord with you. It happened to Joseph. It happened to Jesus. It happened to David when his own brother said, who are you? What are you doing here? So he was rejected. So we suffer rejection at times because of our background. But God shall open the door. Never mind how you look like. Never mind where you come from. God will open the door for you. You better believe that. And until you don't believe that, no doors will open. Hello? Now listen to this. And I want you not to forget this. Don't blame someone else. Don't blame others. It's so easy to blame others for the situation where I am in at. Forget about it. Move on. Forget and forgive. Don't blame, because that leads to discouragement. If you're always busy blaming someone, you become discouraged. Remember Jephthah. He can use you even when you feel rejected. Hello? And those who are here tonight and who've come with that type of a background, I know you can stand up and shake it off. And because God can use you, never mind your situation. Number two, he was refused a privilege. He was refused a privilege. You know, I forgot something. He was the son of a harlot. Oh, yes. The Bible speaks of a mighty man of a valor, but a child of injustice. That is what Jephthah was, a child of injustice. So now listen, he was rejected by his brothers. He was rejected by his family. He was the firstborn, and he had a privilege. Verse 2 says, yeah, Gilead's wife also had several sons. And when these half-brothers grew up, they chased Jephthah of the land. You will not get any of our father's inheritance, they said, for you are the son of a prostitute. Yes, he had the right to inherit. He had the right, but that was rejected. He was chased from that. It was taken away. It was destroyed. Because of what? Because of his father's sin. Not because of his sin. There was nothing wrong with his life. And that took me back to this scripture. The unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. In 1 Corinthians 6 verse 9. Adam's sin drove him out of his inheritance in the Garden of Eden. And all his succeeding generations have been born outside. If we would have an inheritance among them that are sanctified, it must be by faith in Jesus Christ, as we have been singing tonight. So he was rejected. You and me, perhaps we were rejected, but many of us have accepted. Hello? Yes, and not only a new birth, but also the assurance that we are what we are, citizens of his kingdom. You are not going to get an inheritance, and our family was being said to him over and over. So true, by one man's disobedience, many have been made sinners. Number three, so number one was he was rejected. Number two, He was refused a privilege. Number three, he ran in despair. No, you must listen. He ran in despair. When we go through rejection, refusal of love in our families, we have a tendency of running away in despair and desperation. Hello. It's true that many of us, the moment when we are rejected, the moment when we face opposition, the moment we go through hardships, or the moment when we feel dissatisfied, or we feel let down, we run away. And it's in the running away where we land into deeper troubles. You know, many of us, we used to say in South Africa, many people emigrated and left the country. They were looking for greener grass. But the grass on this side of the ocean is the same color as the grass on that side of the ocean. But listen to this. I learned this afternoon. Circumstances beyond his control forced Jephthah away from his people and into a life of an outcast. Now here it comes. Today, both believers and non-believers may drive those who do not fit the norm dictated by our society, even churches, we drive them away. And guess what? We lose potential. That made me think this afternoon. Jephthah had potential. And sometimes people, we are the cause that people leave. We are the reason why people go to other places. We are the reason sometimes that people don't want to associate with us. And guess what? Jephthah's case, great potential was wasted. Hey, every person has a potential, and our aim is to keep what we've got, right? Number two is we want to see people growing. But no, number four, he was reduced socially. He was reduced socially. So he was rejected, right? He ran in disrepair, and he was reduced socially. He left his home and settled in another land called Top. I know very little of Top, but there are many people tobbing. Somewhere in Top. And many of us, we are also tobbing, even if we look good. Even if we lift our hands and we clap in our hands and we rejoice, but inside in our hearts there is a trouble, there is something which made us unhappy, and that is hanging on to us, and we're holding on to it as well, feeling sorry for yourself. But you know what happened? He joined himself to a worthless fellows. So he joined. He was surrounded with people who were all useless. All people who were rebels, who were thieves and murderers, etc. But number five, he was recalled. This is where the message comes. He was recalled. So listen to this. I like this. I wrote it on you this afternoon. Number one, he was rejected. Number two, he was refused a privilege. Number three, he ran in despair. And number four, he was reduced socially. But the key, he was recalled. Wow. If I think of my own life and where I'm standing today, what I was more than 38 years ago, and what I've been doing before that, persecuting Christians, etc. And yet, here I am. At the right time, God opened the door for Jephthah. His disadvantage was turned into advance. You know what? Last year I spoke about Joseph here in this church. Remember? Remember Joseph had to go from the pit through via the slave market to the jail. He landed on the throne. But everything, there was a timing to that. Even when the man who, what they call these guys, who is a waiter, when the waiter promised he will tell the king, and the waiter forgot about Joseph, it could have been the wrong timing for, you know, the waiter could have gone immediately to the Pharaoh, and they could have released Joseph, but it could have been the wrong time. Sometimes we experience hardships, that's true. Sometimes we go through the mill. But hey, the game is keep on keeping on. The game is not giving up. Isn't that? The game is looking forward instead of backward. The game is knowing that I'm a person who have a future and there is hope in my life. So that's the game. And at the right time, look at that Esther. At the right time, she was the right person who saved the nation. And Yefta in the same case. Now look, listen to this. He was recalled. Listen to this. Talk about a turnaround. Yefta belonged on a throne like Al Capone belonged on the police commission. He was a leader of a group, Noahs, thieves, robbers, etc., etc. He had no right to be there except for one thing, God's grace. We've been singing it tonight. I realize I have no right, but hey, everything is God's grace. And grace only grows and works more through us. The more we have humility and realize I am a nothing, but through God, I'm a something. The more I push all my credit and all that what I want, what I receive, push it onto Him. Because He made me able. And that's why so many fall, because it goes right here. Everything starts with humility. And the more humble I am, the more grace or faith first and then grace will flow through. It was through grace. Now listen to this. God loves to take the thing that's dragging you down and use it for His glory. That's what drags you down. If you are here tonight and you have a baggage and you're pulling that baggage with you all those years, all those weeks and months, God wants to release you from this thing. And God turns losers into winners. Say to the person next to you, I'm a winner. Stop losing. Start seeing yourself as a winner. He lifts the poor out of the garbage dump and gives them places of honor according to Isaiah chapter 2 verse 8. The truth is, in God's eyes we are all misfits until He reached down and He saved us. Hello. Hey, I was a number one misfit. I was a number one rubbish. I would have been a general in top because of that what I was in the past. But it was by grace when He lifted me up. He shaped me, He molded me, made me new, and gave me abilities I never had. The same to you. Paul says, don't fool yourselves. No one who is immoral will share in God's kingdom. Neither any thief, greedy person, drunkard, or anyone who curses and cheats. Some of you used to be like that, and I was one like that. But Jesus washed you and made you acceptable to God. Now, I can preach about this message another hour. I've got a lot of things to say, but I think the main points you are getting it. But listen to the last one. Are you beginning to grasp this, what I'm trying to say? The only difference between you and Yefta is that God chose to reveal His past so we could benefit from it. That's one reason why that is written here. And I've been trying to find out why was this all written down. But one of the reasons is that we can benefit. Today He chooses to hide yours under the blood so nobody ever need to know what kind of a person you really were before He transformed you. Hey, I, you know of my past what I told you. But if I had told nothing, if I have never testified about my past, you would have known nothing what I've been doing. It was all covered up by the blood. And that is why sometimes we need to be very careful before we start accusing someone or gossiping about someone. The same person who was being led to the Lord, who accepted the Christ as his Savior, and we are taking some of the stuff away under the blood. Pastor Debbie, I saw the other day when I came here and visited Pastor Henny, I saw one of her notes, and it seemed to me she has been speaking about the King and His kingdom. And that grasped me, because God's desire for you who feel fed up of life. If you are fed up of the past, if you are fed up because your boss is blowing down in your neck, if you are fed up of your husband or your wife or your family or whatever, or fed up of your bad past and how life has treated you, don't flee, don't run away, don't go to top, because salvation is near. But come to the door. That's what I like. You know, we have been singing about salvation. We talk about salvation. But for me and for you to become part of God's kingdom, become part of us, citizens of his kingdom, become heirs of his kingdom, become his kings and his priests, we have to go through the door. And the door is Jesus Christ. Oh my gosh, hallelujah. Tonight he's here. Tonight he wants to open that door. Tonight is the night for you not only to come if you don't know him or not sure of your citizenship, but if there is a past hanging on you, he says, tonight is the night I want to set you free. Tonight is the night I want to shake you and get that off what is hanging on you. Hallelujah. The battle. No, that's what I said in the beginning. The battle is always over your future. No matter what your past is, your future is worth fighting for. So what? Rise up. Start fighting. Let's close our eyes. Hallelujah. Father, tonight, even this, what I've been reading and sharing, has been touching my heart for a couple of days. Because if I look to my past, and I know there are many of your sons and daughters here, there are so many even here who still struggle with the things of the past. There are so many here who are not sure of where they are at this stage of their life, who are not sure what will happen to them in the months or the years ahead of them, who are not sure what will their future be. Then I say, thank you, Lord, that you are here because you want to lift us up. You want to turn our lives around. And that's what I believe, my brothers and sisters. I believe God's desire is to turn your life around. God's desire is to make you a new being. God's desire is to make you part and parcel of his kingdom. God's desire is to make you a spokesman for his sake, for his kingdom. God's desire is to lift you up out of your circumstances and make you whole and bring you to a point where you will walk in freedom, where you will walk. Never mind what is happening. It will not stop you from moving forwards.